Do you love Yankee baseball? If so, this is the show for you. Welcome to Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty. It's been way too long, but we are finally back on the airwaves. Welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Once again, we apologize for the hiatus that we went on, almost 2 full months without a new episode. But don't worry, summer months are here, school is out for the summer, and we have a lot more time to dedicate to New York Yankees baseball. We are definitely planning on adding a lot more content as the summer months roll along, and we hope that you guys continue to support us as we talk about our favorite team. As always, find us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. Interact with us on there. You can find my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Also, while you're at it, follow the Bronx Pinstripes team at Bronx Pinstripes. I write for them, a great website full of great people who are contributing on a daily basis. Make sure you give them a follow. If you're looking for the best baseball follow regarding the New York Yankees, that's where you want to go. We're on Facebook as well, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. All you have to do is search that up and you'll find it. Again, there's many ways to listen to our show. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. If you're hitting us up on there, make sure you subscribe to the show, rate and review it as well. All feedback is appreciated. Looking for as high of a rating as we could get. Give us those 5 stars. Send us a screenshot of it on Twitter. We'll give you a shout out. We appreciate everything that you guys give on Apple Podcasts. As well, you can find us on Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Simplecast, CastBox, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Stitcher. I'm sure I'm forgetting one, but again, we give many opportunities for you to listen to our show. Make sure you find the right outlet for you and continue to listen in. Today's show, basically going to be a catch-up. And you know, when you see that close friend of yours, you know, the one that you haven't seen in a while, maybe like a high school buddy, and you're trying to catch up, well, that's what today's show is basically going to be. We're going to take a look at the month of May for the Yankees, which a little bit of a teaser was a outstanding month. And we'll look at the month of June so far. Look ahead to the Yankee series against the Red Sox in London. A couple of games left in June before the month is wrapped up. Yankees hit a little bit of a skid we'll talk about. But right now, they're in a really good spot, looking really good in the division. And hopefully it keeps up as they look to win the American League East. So to begin today's show, let's look at the month of May. And the Yankees were outstanding in the month, going 20-7 overall. Had a really, really nice month, and it really put them in a position to really control their destiny in the AL East right now. You know, if you look at the standings, Yankees have a pretty solid lead. No lead is ever safe, however. You look at the teams that they're playing, and they're winning games that they need to win. You know, they started the month, they lost 2 games against the Diamondbacks. One of those games actually happened in April. Not really the best start to the month, but then you rattled off the next couple of series. They took 2 out of 3 against Minnesota, 3 out of 4 against Seattle. Then they took 2 out of 3 in Tampa Bay, a division rival, a team who's close to them in the division. Took a doubleheader from the absolutely atrocious Baltimore Orioles. Then again at Yankee Stadium, took 2 of 3 against the Rays. Go to Baltimore, they take home a 4-game sweep. Then win 2 of 3 against KC on the road, come back to the stadium to finish out the month against San Diego, taking 2 of 3. So the Yankees legitimately lost 1 series. Honestly, it could be a half a series in May. When you're looking at the season as a whole, ideally you want to sweep teams, and that's the goal when you go into a regular series. However, it's not feasible. You're not winning every game. There are going to be times where you're going to drop games, you're going to struggle. But if you continue to win 2 out of every 3, that puts you in a really good spot, especially when you're looking toward the playoffs. The Yankees, by winning 2 of 3 or 3 of 4, or even 4 of 4 in the case of the Orioles, and that just puts you in a position where if you continue to win 2 out of every 3 or 3 out of every 4, you're winning series on a consistent basis, and that just sets you up for success down the road. In 162 games, every game does matter. But over the span of time, winning series and taking series one by one is very important for teams that have that playoff aspirations and have that aspiration to go deep into the postseason. So the month of May really was a nice turning point for the Yankees, especially given all the injuries they've dealt with. We've talked about it on the show before. I could sit here all day and talk about the guys who have gone down due to injury. Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Luis Severino, Domingo Herman. You could look at this team and you could point out handfuls of guys who should be contributing at the big league level but have been sidelined due to their respective injury. And the guys who have come in and have battled through have really helped out the Yankees and provided a spark that was definitely needed on a daily basis. So, you know, you look at the month of May as a whole, and you have to be really excited about what the Yankees were able to accomplish, and it really puts into perspective just how much depth this team really has. You know, we'll talk about them in a little bit. Gio Urshela, Clint Frazier. There are a lot of guys that could contribute on this team on a daily basis that at the beginning of the year, it was a question as to whether or not they were even going to get a shot with this team. So you got to give credit where credit's due, because these guys keep fighting, and it's that every day they come to the ballpark, they expect to win the ball game. And that's a credit to the organization for putting that winning mentality into their systems. You know, these guys have bought in, and so far it's really paid off for the Yankees in 2019. As great as the month of May was for the Yankees, the month of June hasn't been as great, but if you look at it as a whole, hasn't been too terrible. You know, they win 2 out of 3 against the Red Sox to start the month. Then they go to Toronto, and they only win 1 of 3, their first loss series in God knows how long. Then they go to Cleveland, take 1 of 3, split with the Mets. Then they go to Chicago, split with the White Sox. Then they come back, they sweep Tampa, take 3 of 4 from Houston, and currently are in the series with Toronto, where they won the first game last night. From June 15th to June 22nd was the real highlight of the month for the Yankees, winning 8 straight games. It was a really great streak for the Yankees. It got snapped on Sunday, on Old Timers Day. Of course, everybody expected them to lose eventually. Sunday was just one of those days that they didn't have it. Jay Happ was not great right from the get-go. And, you know, when you give Justin Verlander a lead, most of the time he's going to hold that lead and he's going to dominate. So for the Yankees, it was a game that, yeah, they would like to have won, but in retrospect, taking 3 of 4 from the Astros, a team that they're expecting to compete against down the stretch this year, that's a big sign for them, especially considering the way the starting pitching is with the injuries and the lack of depth right now. The month of June still has a couple of ball games left. You look at the remainder of the series with the Toronto Blue Jays, another division opponent. These games are the ones you want to win. You get a lot of opportunities to play your division rival. The Blue Jays are definitely in a rebuild. They are not looking to contend this year, have a lot of young guys that look to be key roles, role players in their future. And this is just a situation where you try to take the series, you hope you take the series as you head to London and take on the Red Sox in a 2-game set out of the country. That's another big series. The games against the division add up. And if you look at the division now and who the Yankees have played, this is how they stand with regards to the division. They're 10-2 against the Orioles, so they have played 12 times against Baltimore, arguably the worst team in baseball. They will have 7 more matchups with them this year. They're 4-1 against the Red Sox, so if you're looking at the situation now, that's only 5 games. After this week, they'll have 7, which means there's 12 more games between the two sides. And let's not count out the Red Sox here. They are reigning World Series champions. They have a lot of good talent. Their offense is very potent. Those games are going to mean a lot in terms of the division. The Yankees have played Tampa Bay 9 times so far. They're 7-2 on the year against them. Have really done a nice job against the team that's really been breathing down their necks in terms of the division early on. Tampa Bay, led by Kevin Cash, they have a lot of good talent too. The way that they operate their pitching staff is very unique. I don't expect the Rays to drop out of it. This is a team that won 90 games last year, but if the Yankees could continue to win games against them, it's going to only help them distance themselves in regards to the division. And then you look at Toronto. 2-2 so far against the Blue Jays. They'll wrap up this series. They still have a handful of games left against the Blue Jays. And as the year goes on, you have to expect that the Blue Jays are going to get better. You know, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Kevin Biggio, these guys are here to stay. They're going to get more experience. They're going to be an absolute terror in the American League East. So you look at those two, you look at the other pieces that they're starting to surround them with, and you say, you know, Toronto could really hamper the division and really help determine the winner of the division if they keep winning games against the teams that are ahead of them. You know, they might not factor in at the end of the year, and they're very likely not going to factor in. But they could help have a say in regards to how the division ultimately shapes out. Again, you look at Toronto, do they become sellers at the deadline? Do they trade Marcus Stroman? We'll actually have a special podcast about him coming up this week. But you have to just look at them, and the amount of games the Yankees do have left with them is very interesting and could play a factor in their chase for the American League East. The simple solution, take care of business. You know, you're a better team, beat the team that you're better than. It's simple. But as we all know, crazy things do happen in baseball. Teams get hot at the right time, or teams start to struggle at the wrong time, and it could definitely play a factor in the ultimate race to capture a playoff spot. Before we start to talk about some standout players for the Yankees so far, especially on the offensive side of the ball, it's important to note that since we last talked, the Yankees lineup got a little bit stronger as they added Edwin Encarnacion in a trade from the Seattle Mariners. In return, the Yankees gave up Juan Thén, and that name might sound familiar because it really does. Thén was acquired from the Mariners in the trade that sent Nick Rumbelow to Seattle in November of 2017. So basically, the Yankees got Edwin Encarnacion for Nick Rumbelow if you look at it from that perspective. Yankees are eating some of the salary, not too much to put them over the luxury tax. They will still have room to work with in terms of trade deadline. And Brian Cashman once again put himself in a position where he could address needs such as the starting pitching at the trade deadline and still have room to wiggle with in terms of the luxury tax threshold. So good job by Cashman adding a guy of Encarnacion's talent. The guy's got 23 home runs. Imagine, just think about this, right? You have your lineup. The Yankees lineup is considered one of, if not the best, in all of baseball right now. The Yankees have Judge on his way back at the time, Stanton on his way back, Gary Sanchez hitting the absolute cover off the ball, Gleyber Torres, LeMahieu. You can make the case that LeMahieu could be considered the MVP of the league. You look at this, and then you say, you know what? We're going to add to our offensive prowess, and we're going to add the guy who's currently leading the American League in home runs. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Cashman continues to add to the Yankees lineup, and it just becomes stronger and stronger each day. If I was an opposing pitcher, I would not want to face this crew. There is not one easy out in this lineup. And there's flexibility. There's versatility. Guys like Gardner, guys like LeMahieu, guys like Torres, they play all over the place. They can help you out in multiple ways. So yeah, there might be too many bodies that need to be put into the everyday lineup, but Aaron Boone has the capability of mixing and matching to not only give guys days off, but to keep guys fresh and to keep guys active in the lineup and providing some stability and some power and some offensive approach that is very hard to navigate through if you're an opposing pitcher. So bravo by Cashman. I definitely don't think he's done at the deadline, but this move definitely dictates that the Yankees are all in for 2019. They believe they are World Series contenders. That's the kind of move you make to shore up your lineup as you have October and possibly November in the back of your mind. Some of the notable Yankees that I want to talk about today are guys that have really stood out to me when watching and seeing this team on an everyday basis. And the guy that really stands out right away, I'll talk about another guy that really has been an asset to this team. The first one has to be Gary Sanchez. You know, a lot of people wrote this guy off. A lot of people felt that he was not going to be able to bounce back from his struggles. That shoulder injury he dealt with last year really definitely paid a toll on his body, on his health, on his strength, on his ability to catch the ball. Everything was impacted by his injury. And yeah, Sanchez has struggled a little defensively in the past, but when you watch this guy hit, when he's healthy, and we've seen it this year, he is as dominant of a hitting catcher as we may have ever seen. You know, you look at a guy like Mike Piazza, and you could say to yourself, you know, Sanchez has that ability to hit the way Piazza used to hit. You know, looking into the season so far, 268 batting average, 23 homers, 59 runs batted in. This guy should be the American League starting catcher in the All-Star game and should be the front runner for Comeback Player of the Year, because what he has been able to do has been phenomenal, and he has been a boost in this Yankee lineup where they really desperately needed it. And I give credit to Sanchez for his work ethic and really not letting the critics put him down. He really bounced back and proved everybody wrong and proved that he can be an elite starting catcher at this level. And he has proven it offensively and has become a real tough catcher to run on in terms of the opponent's running game, the base running ability. He narrows down base runners. He's very good at throwing base runners out, has a very strong arm, and has really helped the Yankees pitching staff by keeping runners off base. So I give credit to Sanchez. He's really the guy that I look at on this team, and I really am impressed with what he's done this year. Let's go around the diamond to the next guy, Luke Voit. I think if there were any questions about the future of the Yankees' first base position, Voit answered them and claimed the job as his own. You know, the guy has been phenomenal. 17 home runs, 268 batting average, 48 runs batted in. He has been a tremendous asset to this team. Yeah, defensively, he's not as strong as you would hope your first baseman is. However, this guy, the Yankees acquired for Giovanni Gallegos and Chasen Shreve. It was a low-risk, high-reward type of move by Cashman, and once again, Cashman struck gold. The Yankees saw something in Voit that they liked and were able to turn it into firepower that has been lethal in the Yankees lineup. This is also a guy that almost has 50 walks on the year. So he is patient, he has power, he has the ability to put the ball in play. Just everything the Yankees have hoped for and more. And I'm sure they didn't envision him being as good as he's been, but it is something that has been a real asset for this Yankee team. And hopefully Voit can keep it up, because for the foreseeable future, that first base job is definitely his. I say this a million times about this guy, and if you read my Twitter account, you could probably make me the president of his fan group, but the best signing of the offseason was not Manny Machado. The best signing of the offseason was not Patrick Corbin. It was not Bryce Harper. It was DJ LeMahieu. LeMahieu has been unbelievable for the Yankees. 331 batting average, among the best in the American League. 51 runs batted in, has 10 home runs on the year. But let me put that into perspective for you, okay? Going into this year, LeMahieu's career high in home runs is 15 when he was with the Rockies last year. He is definitely on pace to shatter that. The way he is hitting the ball and his high contact rate and the analytics that the Yankees found that would make him a perfect fit and his versatility defensively have been nothing short of an asset to this team. You can make the case that he could get MVP votes right now. That's how good he's been and how good he has continued to be. And there's no sign of slowing down for him. It seems like every time he's up with runners in scoring position, he comes through. He thrives in those situations. I cannot wait to see what this guy is capable of the rest of the way. The way he is hitting, he is proving all the critics wrong that said, you know, maybe he's not the best fit in New York. Maybe the Yankees should look at a guy like Marwin Gonzalez or somebody of that nature. But LeMahieu proved that he was a perfect fit for the Bronx. And arguably so, I hope that Yankee fans keep voting for him for the All-Star game, because he definitely deserves his spot. And I'm sure that he will be representing the team in Cleveland in a couple of weeks. The last guy I want to talk about in terms of everyday starters that we assumed was Gleyber Torres. Can you imagine? This guy is 22 years old. I'm 26, and I look at what he's doing and I'm amazed. You know, he's a guy that has that superstar ability. 18 home runs so far this year, hitting .285. The Yankees needed him to play short while Didi was out. He slid over and did the job. Playing second again now, with the Yankees' need filled by Didi's return, and continues to impress and continues to do his everyday job. He is just a guy, another guy that deserves to be in the All-Star game. Just unbelievable. And at 22 years old, the poise that he shows is unbelievable. I can't wait to see what this guy's future has in store. I'm sure that a lot of teams, in terms of trade talk, when the Yankees talk about some elite guys that they're trying to get, will want this guy. But I think he's off the table. I think the Yankees want to hold on to him for the long haul, because this guy has the ability and the talent to be an all-time great if he continues on this trend. just a special talent. And if you look at everybody on Twitter, it seems like every day is Gleyber Day. The guy absolutely owns the Baltimore Orioles. I'm sure they're sick of seeing him in the Yankees lineup. But he's just fun to watch and exciting to watch because of the talent that he brings on the field every given day. And those four guys that are considered quote-unquote everyday starters have been real assets for this team. And of course, you can't just look at starters when you're looking at impact players. And there's three guys that I really pointed out when I was doing my research that have really helped the Yankees get to where they are now based on their productivity. The first guy, of course, Gio Urshela. When Andujar went down with his season-ending injury, a lot of people were worried, what's going to happen with third base? How are the Yankees going to fill the role? Giovanni Urshela really came in and claimed the role and did a great job in doing so. Hitting .308 on the year, hit a little bit of a slide recently, but the guy can field like no other. Tremendous defensively, has really been a boost for this Yankee team, both offensively and defensively. And he's a guy that, yeah, now that they have a lot more weapons and health with in terms of their other guys, is going to see a little less playing time. But when he's in the lineup, he does find a way to make his impact, whether defensively or offensively. The other guy is Cameron Maybin. And if you would have told me that Cameron Maybin was getting a lot of playing time on this team at the beginning of the year, I would have said, boy, this team is in trouble. However, Maybin came in, appeared in 42 games, .314 batting average. A little bit of a logjam when Judge and Stanton came back. However, Maybin did go down with an injury. He is currently sidelined, but he is a valuable weapon to keep around, and he's a team guy. He came in, he bought into what the Yankees were selling. He wants to help this team win. Yeah, he knew the writing was on the wall, that his future might be in doubt because of the fact that they have so much talent coming back and that they have so much talent in their minor league system. However, the guy just went out every single day and did what he could to help this team win. And he quickly became a fan favorite because everybody loved the way that he approached the game and the way that he approached every day in the Bronx. That's the kind of player you need when you are looking to win a World Series title. And that's a guy that I hope that the Yankees can find a way to keep around because he could be valuable down the stretch, especially his veteran leadership with this group of young guys. The last guy I want to talk about, and he's getting a lot of heat right now, but it's Clint Frazier. And ever since the Yankees made the trade to acquire Frazier, I absolutely loved this guy. I loved his bat speed. I loved his swagger. I loved everything about him. You know, in life, everything doesn't go the way that you want it to go. And on probably 9 out of 10 major league teams, Frazier is a starting outfielder. That's how good he is. And if you look at his numbers, hit .283, has 11 home runs, 34 RBIs on the year, has filled in multiple roles, helped fill in for a couple of injuries, and has been fantastic. Yes, defensively, he has struggled a bit, but this guy is a major leaguer. And with the Yankees' talent and the Yankees' depth, he right now is in AAA. He's not very happy about it, and rightly so. And I totally understand where he's coming from. He has earned a spot on this team. However, there is no room to currently fit him. And the Yankees have visions of him getting every day at bats. He doesn't understand it. He's a young guy. He wants to be in the big leagues. He knows he belongs. However, his time is going to come. Whether it's with the Yankees next year or in the foreseeable future, or whether the Yankees decide to trade him to get some assets at the trade deadline. One thing is for sure, and I'm going to put myself on the record for this. Regardless of where it happens, Clint Frazier is going to be an impact bat at the major league level. He is a special talent, and he is one that I think a lot of people are going to look back at and say, you know, wow, this guy is so good, and he couldn't even crack this Yankee team. That's how good that Yankee team was. So if I had the opportunity to talk to Frazier, which I would love to do, I would just tell him to stick with it, keep grinding, and don't let the demotion get to you. You know, you're a great ball player. You are going to grow as a player. You work on your defensive skills when you're in AAA. Keep your back going and wait for that time to come because everything happens for a reason. You're going to get your time to shine. It's just a matter of when. When you are up, you are productive. You helped out this team mightily. This team will find a spot for you eventually. Or they will find someone who values you enough to give you that opportunity on an everyday basis in the big leagues like you deserve. But for the time being, keep battling because your time is coming. Just stick with the plan. And that's what I have to say to Clint Frazier. I hope he hears that. And I hope that maybe he'll shout us out for that. But I'll always root for him. I think he's a great kid. I think that he's getting a lot of criticism for some social media stuff that's gone on. Him not following Yankees or whatnot. You know, I'm not really into the whole social media trend following these guys. But I do think this guy's time is coming. And I can't wait to see him on an everyday basis in the big league level. That's going to wrap up our show for today. It was really great to be back on the air. Totally missed it. I hope you guys missed listening to our show. As always, find us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. My personal account at Nick_Delahanty. I'm going to be posting a couple of questions for you guys to answer on Twitter. I want your feedback. The first one, if you looked on Twitter over the past couple of days, you saw that there were kind of speculation as to a possible Aaron Judge trade. And I'm going to pull that up for you so you guys can get the kind of background. WFAN's Chris Carlin said that he would trade Aaron Judge for Max Scherzer straight up. My question to all my Yankee fans is there any player or players in baseball you would trade Aaron Judge for? Honestly, I don't know, but I want to hear your opinion. Send us your responses using the hashtag PinstripeTalk. Let us know. Your opinions could be heard on our show. Also, this week we are going to release another podcast episode to make up for the fact that we've been off the air for 2 months. The next show is going to be dedicated to the pitcher that I think the Yankees must, and I mean must, acquire at the trade deadline. A lot of speculation around this guy. A lot of hype around this guy. This guy has what it takes to pitch in New York. I think it's a perfect fit. We'll break that down on our next episode. Make sure you find us on Facebook, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Search us up, like us, you know, share with your friends. As always, there are multiple ways to listen to our show. First and foremost, Apple Podcast. Subscribe, rate, review the show. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Simplecast, CastBox, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Stitcher. You name it, our podcast is there available for you. We hope you take the opportunity to listen in. Listen right from your phone. It's nice and easy. Could go with you wherever you go. Hit up your Bluetooth on your phone while you're in the car, driving to work, driving wherever. You know, our shows are there for you. Make sure you take the opportunity to listen in and provide us with your feedback. As always, we thank everybody for taking time out of their busy schedules. We hope that you're enjoying the beginning of summer. Exciting times for the New York Yankees. Yankees head to London this week. Trade deadline is a little over a month away. A lot of exciting things coming, and a lot of exciting things coming for the Pinstripe Talk podcast. We hope that you continue to stick with us and talk about the best team in New York with us on a regular basis. That's it for today. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. We'll catch you next time. Thanks again for tuning in, and this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast.